Know that he appreciates our prayers and our kind attention as he brings us the word. Our brother Marvin.
Thank you, David. Yes, we all need everybody's prayers, not only time we stand here, but at all times we need the help of each and everybody, that we pray for one another and support one another as the Lord hears those prayers and he does answer them. I'd like to start here in the book of 1 Peter, 5th chapter, and this is something the Lord always desires us to be, is to walk humbly before the Lord in all things and to be humble. And when we're humble, then he can bless us. When we're prideful, he don't like to communicate with us. He wants us to be humble and meek and lowly of heart in all things. And as it says in verse 6 here, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And that is true. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And he does care for us. He's left us promises that, you know, if we will but obey him and put our trust in him, you know, all will be well in the conflict that will come one of these days ahead of us. He wants us to walk humbly, and then he can communicate with us. But you know, that pride, the adversary loves for us to be pride in heart. It's a great enemy to our Lord and Savior. And so we need to always pray to the Lord, seek his help, that we can walk humbly before him as we walk in this walk of life. But you know, Satan is always working upon us to try and lead us away and give us false ideas and precepts and to teach us to do that which is wrong. That's what he loves to do. He's kind of miserable. He wants you to be like him. I'd like to go back in the book of Mormon here on page 317, and I'll begin here on verse 57 and read a little bit. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them, and he saith, repent, and I will receive you. The Lord never does destroy anybody that repents. He loves for everybody to repent, whoever they be, wherever they be, in whatever nationality they are. He would have everybody to repent of those things that they do wrong. To repent of what? It's the worldly things that creep upon us, that Satan whispers to us from time to time, and that we walk humbly before the Lord as we should. Verse 58. Yea, he saith, come unto me, and you shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, you shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life fully. And truly, that's what he would have us to do. If you remember, you know, Alma speaks of that very clearly. Lehi speaks of that as well, that we all come and partake of that fruit of the tree. And we can say that's the Spirit of the Lord, which is given through the ministry of this church. The people of the world do not have that authority to give that authority of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. They try it, and they make that a move among them, but it is not there. The Lord does bless us and prosper us. And you can look back in your life, each and every one of you, and you can see the hand of the Lord in your life from time to time, where he has stepped in and helped you. If he had enough, would you be here today? I doubt it very much. I know I wouldn't be here now if it wasn't for the kindness of the Lord. He has protected me in accidents that should have been but didn't happen. I kind of marvel when I look back and see some of the escapes, as I want to say, occurred in my life. So, but you know, he would have everybody come to him, as he says. Everybody is welcome to come to him. But you know, everybody will not do that in this walk of life for some reason or another. There. I'll read one more verse here. 59. Yea, come unto me and bring forth works of righteousness, and you shall not be hewed down and cast into the fire. For behold, the time is at hand that whosoever bringeth forth not good fruit, or whosoever doeth not the works of righteousness, the same has cause to wail and mourn. And truly they do. To be on the left hand of the Lord is a very terrible thing for everybody. You know, Jesus says it to some of them, it'd been better if they had never been born. And you know, that is true. The resurrection, everybody lives forever. It don't matter which side of the aisle you're on. But to be on the left hand of God is a terrible thing and a terrible place to be. I know my brothers and sisters don't want to be there, and I do not either. But we have the gospel here. We have the records, and we can search them and seek them out. I'd like to. Back over here in the Bible in Mark. Mark the 4th chapter. It's one that we've run into many times. 4th chapter. And I'll start on verse 2. Now this is Jesus teaching his disciples, the people that's there. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it come to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air come and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprung up, because it had no depths of earth. You know, this is speaking of the people of the world, is what it's speaking of. You know, some of them hear, but they don't understand, and they see, but they don't see. And so they disregard what is being given to them, because their heart is not there with the Lord as they should in humbleness. They or stiff neck, if you want to put it that way. Verse 6, But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Now, you all know what happens when you have vegetables in a garden. And if you don't properly take care of them, water them, you know, they dry up and they die on you. That's what happened. Well, that's the way it is with the people as well. They can hear the word, but you know, if they don't seek the Lord out in prayer, search the scriptures, and that they wither away and walk away, and they don't hear or whatever. And so the humans are just like the plants, as it gives here. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Now, you know, weeds have a very habit of growing in the garden, it seems like. The more you hoe them out and pull them out, the more they want to grow, it seems like. But you know, as they get there, they choke out the things of your fruit. Well, it's the same thing in the world. The pleasures of the world crowd in upon mankind. Just like the thorns, they grew up, it chokes them. And that's the way it is in the world. The pleasures of the world, the things of the world, can become very burdensome to the people. It's just a rat race out there sometimes, it gets to be. But a person, he has to make a determination in his heart. Is he going to follow the ways of the world, or is he going to follow the Lord? It takes an effort on an individual part to search the scriptures and to follow the Lord and be faithful and attend church, not just one day a month or what, but you know, they need to be faithful in the morning and in the evening and the other days of the week when the church might be gathered together. That is the way they should, but you know what it says, the weeds choke them out, and they didn't go good. I can know as a little child, my mother drug us little ones to church morning and noon and Wednesday evening and Friday evening, and a lot of times they had things at the church or Saturday. We were there. We didn't get to run away and not go. We didn't get to talk to mom or father and say, well, I don't want to go. There was no choice. You went. And that is good, really. The children of Israel, they done good for a while, and then in a little while they wasn't doing very good. Just why? They weren't doing good. They wasn't following the commandments of God. It wasn't being obedient to his commandments and attending church, I'm sure. And they wasn't teaching their little children and instructing them as they should. You know what it says there in the Old Testament? That you walk by the way, you teach them in the morning and at the dinner time, and you talk to them about the religion and about the good Lord and all of those things. Well, we need to do that today as well, to teach our children so that they come up. But sometimes the best you can do, you can't keep them interested in the gospel for some reason or another. They turn away. But you know, some fell among thorns and the thorns grew up and choked it. Well, this is what happens to the people of the world. I've talked with people, it seemed like they just as interested as all could be. And they wanted to come in church. But I never did see them in church. One thing or another, they just fizzled out. It says, other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprung up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And so it is. Among the people. Some are real faithful and they bring forth many good fruit and we can see it. And so, as it says, some of it brought forth quite a little bit. And that's the way it is, the faithful people that do it. And he said unto them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, least at any time that they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. So the people of the world, he spoke these parables to see if they were faithful and wanted to understand. You know, the 12 didn't, understand all those things. And he explained those things very diligently unto them so that they would understand those things. We see today the fulfillment of this parable here in the people of the world, and they go their own way irregardless. You know, we're speaking this morning Sunday school and the many prophets that was there Ahab had. Well, we got many of them today in the world today, just as well as they had of old. Even more, I'm sure, even more than they had. You know, there's, what, over 30,000 churches? You can say 30,000 false prophets that we have in the world. And so they go their own way instead of the way of the Lord. A lot of times, you know, we run into situations, as I was reading, the mega churches. They took a survey among them, how they had so many members, some of them. And they asked them if they preached the gospel. And they says, no, we don't preach the gospel, the laws and that. Says, when we do, they leave. They don't stay around. So we are people pleasers instead of Lord pleasers, they are. And so we have to preach the gospel of Christ and not be pleasers of people, but, you know, pleasers of the Lord. And that's what these mega churches are. As I said, I was rather surprised to read that. They said, we don't teach the laws of God, that you have to repent and you have to keep the commandments of God. Says, when we do, our membership leaves us. So they don't preach the word of God there. I'd like to go back into the Book of Mormon here on page 255. And I'm starting on verse 79. And now, if Christ had not come into the world, speaking of things to come as though they had already come, there could have been no redemption. As I said, if Christ had not come into the world, there would be no redemption. There would be no Christ. And if Christ had not risen from the dead or have broken the bands of death, then the grave should have no victory, and that death should have no sting. There could have been no resurrection. And so Christ did come into the world. He did break the bands of death, so that any of those that come to him, as they should, and come into his kingdom humbly and keep his precepts and commandments, you know, all will be well with them. You know, it also says that those that have not the law given to them, you know, somewhere, they may have lived all their life and never heard it, but, you know, they live good lives and that. The Lord has a call upon them because they're not accounted to the law as we are accounted to the law. We have the law, and if we don't keep it, we're in trouble. So Christ coming into the world, he broke the bands of death, and that is a wonderful thing that we can be with him forever and ever if we but keep his commandments as he has given it to us here. It'll be a place that everybody here wants to be with our Lord and Savior. And we can. But there is a resurrection. Therefore, the grave has no victory, and the sting of death is swallowed up in Christ. He is the light and the life of the world, yet a light that is endless, that can never be darkened, yea, and also a light which is endless, that there can be no more death. And so, You know, he is a light to us forever. He's that light that we need to cling to. And that light is our Lord and Savior, his commandments. You know, he says we should have that charity within our hearts, one for another. You know, we're told to, by Paul, to put on that whole armor of God. Not just part of it, but all of it. And, you know, seek the Lord out in prayer and humbleness and in fasting. He'll bless us with those things if we ask not amiss. So that is what we are to do, is to seek him out. He has broken the bands of death. He has come into the world that we can be redeemed. I want to go back here on page 487 in the Book of Mormon. I'll begin with verse 19 here. And thus we see how merciful and just are all the dealings of the Lord to the fulfilling of all his words unto the children of men. You know, the Lord never breaks his covenant with the children of men. It's always the children of men that break the covenant. The Lord never does. He's always faithful to bless his people, as he says, and to help them in the needs of their life and that. Satan works upon the human beings, and they want to go their own way. Verse 28, we can behold that his words are verified, even at this time, which he spake unto Lehi, saying, Blessed art thou and thy children, and they shall be blessed, inasmuch as they shall keep my commandments, they shall prosper in the land. Now, we've read this Book of Mormon enough that we know that that is true. As they kept the words of God, they were blessed in a big way. And when they didn't, they had war just like Israel in the Bible and the Old Testament. They had war. As we mentioned this morning in Sunday school, Assyrians and Ahab going to Israel, there was a knocking heads one with another. Well, that's the way the people here on this land did among the Nephites and the Lamanites. When they didn't keep the commandments of God, they had no blessings of the Lord. They did not have his help. They become just like the Lamanites. Verse 21, But remember, inasmuch as they will not keep my commandments, they shall be cut off in the presence of the Lord. And we see that these promises have been verified to the people of Nephi, for it had been their quarreling and their contention, yea, their murdering and their plundering, their adultery, their whoredoms, and their abominations, which were among themselves, which brought upon them their wars and their destructions. And how true that is. You know, it's the same way in the world today with what we got going. You know, when the gospel was restored, the Lord told Joseph that at that time that the world was almost like Sodom and Gomorrah in his day. Just think. In his day, he says, almost like Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, what do we have today? It must be ripe and ready to fall off the tree. We're so overburdened with the evil in this world. It's terrible. And the Lord's going to clean it up. 23. And those who were faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord were delivered at all times. And you know, that's what is true. He delivers those that are faithful to him in times of troubles, and as they should. While thousands of the wicked brethren have been consigned to bondage, or to perish by the sword, or to dwindle in unbelief and mingle with the Lamanites. But behold, there never was a happier time among the people of Nephi since the days of Nephi than in the days of Moroni. Yea, even at this time, in the 21st year of the reign of the judges. And it come to pass that the 22nd year passed of the reign of judges also ended in peace, yea, and also the 23rd. So, you know, when they, under the reign of Moroni, you know, they were blessed because they kept the commandments of God. They were really, during the war they had there during that time, they were quite frightful that they might be overcome with the Lamanites. But Moroni consolidated them and got them together, and they followed the Lord when they seen what happened. You know, they had no power. They were in big trouble. I'd like to read here a little bit more here, 26 being here. And it come to pass that in the commencement of the 24th year of the reign of Judges, there would also have been peace among the people of Nephi, had it not been for a contention which took place among them concerning the land of Lehi and the land of Moriantum, which joined upon the borders of Lehi, both of which were on the borders by the seashore. Here they have somebody wants to stand up and be a dictator, and they got problems. And that peace, you know, it comes to an end when you have people like that. Satan is busy, is what it is. He's working upon them, and Moriantum is who he's working upon to bring contention, and they're trying to steal some ground that don't belong to them. You know, that's the way pride is. This is mine. It's not yours. You can't have it. You can't do it. Pride is an enemy to Christ. And it leads people into forbidden paths. That's just what is happening here. For behold, the people which possessed the land of Moriantum did claim a part of the land of Lehi. Therefore, there began to be a warm contention between them, insomuch that the people of Moriantum took up arms against the brethren, and they were determined by the sword to slay them. But behold, the people which possessed the land of Lehi fled to the camp of Moroni and appealed unto him for assistance, for behold, they were not in the wrong. And so their peace come to an end for a little while here because contention is by the author of Satan enters in, you know. As I said, they want to claim more than what they should. You know, I'm bigger than you or whatever. I have more people behind me. I can start this war and I can overtake it. You know, the worlds that we have, ever since the creation, it's been by contention, strife, pride, overworking the people and leading them astray where they should not be. I'd like to go over here on page 683 in the Book of Mormon. Verse 19 here, I'll lead on. Now this here is among the Nephites here. It's after Christ has come here on this land and talked to them, you know, and give them the law and all of that. And it was several years before they had everybody converted to the Lord. It took them a few years to do it, but they did. And so here on verse 19, and surely there could not be a happier people among all the people which had been created by the hand of God. Notice, you know, I'm sure that's probably so. They had land of Zion at that time. It's just like the Garden of Eden. Peace was among them like you couldn't believe. There was no robbers, nor murders, neither were there Lamanites, nor any manner of ites. But they were in one, the children of Christ, and heirs to the kingdom of God. This is the way we all should be, but we're not. We're not one with the Lord as of this day, but we should be. We're far better off today than we were 40, 50 years ago, or 60, but we still have not come to that level of charity and kindness in our hearts that we should have. But nevertheless, as it says here, there never was a happier time among the people, and I'm sure there was, you know. But Satan enters in invariably, and he has always, to take away that peace and happiness among the people. He'll influence them some way or another, and troubles will come into being. I'd like to go down here to a few verses. Over on verse 27 on page 684. Now, in this 201st year, there began to be among them those which had been lifted up in pride, such as wearing of costly apparel and all manner of fine pearls and of all fine things of the world. And from that time forth, they did have their goods and their substance no more common among them. And they began to be divided into classes, and they began to build up churches unto themselves to get gain, and began to deny the true church of Christ. Well, we've got the same thing going today, only in a bigger way. But you know, it's somebody, pride enters in, as it says here, and it leads them away. Satan's able to encourage them. And you know, they lose that freedom and the happiness that the Lord would have his people to have. He'd have for everybody if they would come unto him and keep his commandments as he'd have us to do. I'd like to go back here in the Bible and read here a little bit. In 1 Corinthians, that would be the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And start here on verse 2. Now this is Paul speaking here. In verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And so we must have that charity within our hearts. That is that love and compassion and kindness that it brings into our hearts, and we are to have them. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, in other words, evil, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all shame. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish. But you know, charity never will, and it hasn't. It disappears among the iniquity or the evil. That is where it disappears to, when the evil comes in. But you know, Charity we must have within our hearts, one for another, in all of our ways, for that is the love of God. And that's what he blesses us with if we will but keep his commandments. I'd like to go over here in Galatians. Galatians, here in the 6th chapter of Galatians, in the 8th verse, I'd read a verse or two here. It says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And that is true. Whatever you sow, you reap. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And that's what we're all hunting for, is life everlasting with the Lord. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." In other words, that faint not means to stop following the Lord. But we are to follow the Lord in all things here. So let us follow the Lord, seek him out in prayer, humbleness, and to have that charity within our hearts if we should. Thank you.